Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you as we move right through our day together. Thank you for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good buddy Steve Del Bianco back on the show. Steve is Vice President of Corporate Affairs for the Association for Competitive Technology and the President of NetChoice, which is a companion organization to ACT. And he's one of the guys, ladies and gentlemen, who works very hard to make sure that the Internet remains as unencumbered of regulation and laws and weights from bureaucrats as possible. And he's not just doing this in the United States. He's doing it around the country, probably across the galaxy. And he's got some things to report. Steve Del Bianco, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Now, you've been doing something that's kind of fun. I know it's been, in a way, it's been kind of fun, but it's very serious business because the things you've been doing with your iAwful program, you're basically exposing laws and or proposed laws across the country that are going, especially state laws, that are going to inhibit the use of the Internet.
That's right, Jim. I mean, we do work in so many state capitals all year round that it's a dizzying list to keep track of. So I thought, well, instead of just playing whack-a-mole all the time with the state capitals, let's just identify the worst 10 laws affecting the Internet and publicize those regularly. We did it in June.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, three of the things we publicized in June became a lot less awful.
Why?
Because press, the media covered it,
right,
folks like
right.
You covered it, and the sponsors called me to say, my goodness, I don't want to be on the awful list. What do we need to do to work together on this? Well, I hope we can do as well next time around because there is an awful list of laws that I published yesterday. Any of your listeners online can go to iawful.com. And as you said, I mean, we have an iPod, iPhone, iTunes. Well, we needed an iAwful, too. So it's really been popular.
The list of infamous laws and regulations. So are we going backwards or forward? We're going to go the top 10 in reverse order, or are we going to start right with the worst one?
Hey, you know what? I'll give you two categories, and we'll just cover a couple of the highlights.
Okay.
Since there's 10 of them on there, and you can read in detail, but they really come into two categories. The first is efforts to child-proof the Internet. Sometimes those are well-meaning measures, but they are unworkable, usually, in the online world. And the second is a broad category of, well, state and local tax administrators who are desperate to raise more revenue. And you know the old adage, right? If it's online, tax it. If it's still online, regulate it. And if it goes offline, subsidize it.
Right. So the first one, though, sounds a little controversial because the way you said that sounds like a good idea. How do we child-proof the Internet? How do we protect our children from doing things that would hurt them when we can't be supervising them? Why is that? You know, most parents would think, wait a minute, Steve, that's a good idea.
They might say that, but let's take a look at the main example. You as a father of three or four children. That's exactly right. And my seven-year-old daughter uses Webkinz. And before she was allowed to enroll in Webkinz, I had to respond to an email saying, yes, I allow my daughter to do that. Because there's an existing federal regulation called COPPA that covers sites that serve 13-year-olds and under. But what this main law attempts to do is to try to force parents to give verifiable consent before a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old puts their name and age into any Internet website.
The state of Maine is doing this.
That's right. So these are state laws. In this case, Maine. This is a law they approved sort of at the final hour of the legislative session in Augusta over the summer, and it takes effect on September the 12th. So believe it or not, September the 12th, if a teenager in Maine signs on to, let's say, Kaplan SAT prep. 17-year-old in Maine wants to take the SAT and start preparing. They put their name and age into the Kaplan website because they want to know about testing centers in their area, and they want to be notified about testing dates. At that point, if Kaplan doesn't get verifiable parental consent, they will have committed a crime the minute they accept the age and the name. And even if the state says, we're not going after Kaplan, that's a benefit to teens. Maine created a private right of action for the plaintiff's bar. That means that kid's parents or the attorney down the street can sue Kaplan for $250 plus costs for every single time they collect any of this information without parental permission.
Right. Steve, hold on to that thought. Folks, we're gonna get into this a little bit deeper and bring up... Steve has some other examples that he's been working on of some of these states around the country have been passing laws, and we'll let you decide which one, whether you like them or not. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. Thank you for checking it out. It looks new. It looks different. I hope you'll go there and check it out and see what we've done. I think you'll like it, and makes it a little easier to navigate, I think, and a little easier to find what you need. So check that out. We got more to come, too, by the way. So if you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic, under the Small Business Sun, we got something that will help you there with your small business. And be sure to check out my blog and subscribe to my newsletter as well. You can ask questions there, too. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Steve Del Bianco is our guest. He's the president of NetChoice. That's netchoice.org. Is that right?
That's right. And iawful.com.
iawful.com. I love that. I've been on some websites that were eye-awful, but we're not talking about websites, folks. We're talking about, Steve's talking about some laws that are being passed at the state level. Steve, is part of the problem with these state eye-awful laws that the Internet doesn't have any geographical boundaries? And when you put up a law in a state, it creates this huge tripwire for interstate businesses. Is that part of the problem?
That's such a great point. And think about all of your small business listeners around the country who put up a website with a service. And if that service is really valuable to somebody, they're going to find you on the Internet. That's the beauty of the Internet. They'll find you, they'll log into your site, and as we were talking before the break, if it happens to be a 17-year-old from the state of Maine who gets onto one of your small business websites based in Arkansas, I don't know how, but that Arkansas small business is supposed to know that all of a sudden you need verifiable parental consent before you accept anything from a Maine teenager or expect to be sued.
Now, in this particular case in Maine, they do stipulate that if the young person just gives their name, that's not a breaking the law, but if they give their name and their age, that's breaking the law.
That's their tripwire, name and the age.
But here's the point. Somebody could have just as easily just left off the age out of the bill and just said, okay, anybody under 18 who subscribes to anything, you got to get parental control. I mean, somebody's going to come up with something like that one day, Steve. And the point is that means if they subscribe to my innocent, innocuous, newsletter that's nothing but about small business, then I could be in trouble just by allowing a teenager from Maine to subscribe to my newsletter.
Jim, I mean, you're right. And think about this for a second. No attorney general is going to prosecute Jim Blassingame for the newsletter. But
right.
What if a state decides to empower private lawsuits without any need to show damage or harm? So lawyers, you've seen the billboards beside the highway called Feinberg and Feinberg.
Right.
When you've had an accident. Well, this is the same thing. It's $250 plus court costs for every incident. And think of the burden of trying to obtain verifiable parental consent. On the Internet, the customer's not in your store. You don't have a picture ID to verify their name and age. And you can't turn to the person's father and ask, are you the father?
So
do you allow this kid to join the site?
So is this?
Can't do that online, Jim.
Is this Steve? What is your recommendation for protecting young people? For example, should it be a federal law, or what should it?
The only thing we can do are national federal laws, national standards. We can't have a patchwork of state laws.
Right.
that conflict with each other.
Why do the states
think that they... We can't have a private right of action with statutory damages that just enriches the plaintiff's attorney.
What is it about this that the state legislatures don't get?
You know, I think a lot of times they want to try to pass laws that they can stand up and brag about at their next town hall meeting.
Right.
And do they care about constitutionality problems, interstate commerce barriers, and patchworks? No. They'll let someone else worry about that. What they want to do is list something they did for their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, they're doing more harm than good.
What's the deal in New Jersey?
New Jersey had a number one bill on my first IOFA list in June. It got bumped to number three because of this Maine bill and what New York City's up to. But I'll tell you, but for those two laws that take effect in September, New Jersey would still be number one. They've got a bill that that says that any social networking site serving New Jersey residents has to have a new button on their screen called Report Abuse, and they've got to take reasonable and expeditious measures to investigate any abuse report and take down.
Has this passed?
No, thank goodness.
So if it does,
attention.
Twitter and Facebook and my blog will have to have that button on it, for example.
Well, you know what? They all do. They all already do. Before New Jersey got a wild hair about passing a bill, all of those sites you mentioned already have a report abuse button. And when people report abuse, the staff at Facebook, at MySpace, they investigate whether the communications and things that have been said online are abusive. And if they are, they're allowed to terminate
mm-hmm.
the abuser's account because
mm-hmm.
it's in the terms of service.
Mm-hmm.
But what New Jersey decided is that they are going to set a different standard for how fast these companies have to investigate.
Wow.
And they're going to allow the parent or someone else to come back and sue the social networking site if in fact they didn't investigate deeply enough.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about this a second. Your daughter comes home from the playground and complains about some bully or some other girl who's not being nice to her. In the physical world, that sort of playground talk can generate a phone call from parent to parent. It might even mean you'd call the school. But in the online world, this is going to be used to try to get other kids kicked off the playground.
Mm-hmm.
If I can hit report abuse on people that I don't like or that don't like me,
right.
And then and New Jersey is going to force them to take these people off the site, we end up trying to create the policeman. The policeman mm-hmm. of the playground becomes the social networking.
So, folks, hopefully you're seeing that the Internet is not like your neighborhood. The execution of the Internet, the performance... the leveraging of the Internet by businesses, by legal, by well-meaning businesses and people and organizations is not like operating inside your neighborhood. It's a different universe, and it has to be monitored in different ways. And that's what Steve Del Bianco works on all the time, and we're lucky to have him doing this, he and his organization. 10-2, we've got more to come after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. Steve, tell us about NetChoice.
NetChoice is a coalition of e-commerce platforms and over 10,000 small businesses that do things online. And you can join up. Small businesses can join up for free, stay informed of what NetChoice is doing, and
we'll
try to mobilize you guys when things are happening in your states that you need to speak up about.
NetChoice.org. And you're going to keep them posted. You're going to send them all the IOFA lists when they subscribe.
We try not to spam people, so we don't necessarily pump that thing out every time through emails. But folks that are interested can check that website and set up an RSS feed to our blog.
Good. There you go. Check RSS to the blog, folks. That way, whenever they post something new to the blog, it'll come to you and keep up with what they got going on. Because, folks, I'll tell you. Steve, I'm telling my audience that, you know, the customers are still going to come in your store, but more and more, people are valuing their time more than their money, and that means they're looking to companies to help them manage their time, to help them manage the relationship that they have with them, and this is all being done electronically. It's all being done over the Internet, over the World Wide Web, and so the more we have nutty politicians sticking their nose into trying to put up barriers like China and Russia and Iran, the more convoluted and the more cumbersome the internet's going to be, and the harder it's going to be for us to do business.
And the more expensive it is, it's the small businesses that get
and dangerous.
Because right now, a small business on Main Street can actually reach customers that might never come back to their store by having a website and being able to answer queries online, let people buy something online and return it to your store or exchange it. It's a combination of bricks and clicks together that I think is the new business model that consumers really want.
There's a term that I've been using, Steve, that's going to be a greater and greater part of the relationship between a customer and a company, and it's very simple. It's called follow me home.
Sure.
People are saying, I've been to your website, I like it, but I'm not going to go back there much. I'd like to tell you what I'm interested in, and then I want you to follow me home when you have information about that.
That's right, and when I order something, keep track of what I ordered. Let me know next time so that my order can be, I can just tick it off.
Right.
You had a guest on the previous segment, Joanna Brandy, who talked about she loves buying online because the list of vitamins that she bought last month are all right there in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
Stores can do that too.
Yeah, exactly. Every small business can do that. So let's talk about another one of these IOFA laws. That what's the next worst one?
I think you'll get a kick out of this. If you've traveled to New York, and I know you have, and you've traveled to lots of big city hotels, you know how much they tax.
Oh, it's awful.
The hotel stay. It's incredible.
Maybe as much
you look at your hotel bill at checkout.
25%, easy.
Oh, it's nuts. And the city of New York leads the way. Their current hotel tax, fully loaded with sales tax and city tax, is over 20%.
Wow.
Now listen to this. New York passed an ordinance last month that takes effect on September the 1st. New York City says that you are sitting in Florence, Alabama, and you're using Expedia or Hotels.com or Orbitz, or you went down into Florence and used a travel agent. If that travel agent or online service charges you a service fee for helping you out, New York City wants a piece of that. New York City wants 20% of the service fee on top of the 20% they get for the hotel room payment. Think about that.
Well, New York is dying. I mean, they've run out of money. They're probably right behind California in terms of in the bankruptcy court.
Yeah, I feel really bad for New York, but I'll tell you what, when times are tough in my household or my business, we find a way to make more money or we find a way to cut costs.
Well, but that's because you don't have the ability to tax, Steve. You do more cost cutting, and the states have the ability to tax. And Steve, they're just going to – this is why we have to have people like you out there fighting the good fight, because they're not going to change their ways, Steve.
No, they won't stop.
If we think that political class, ladies and gentlemen, is ever going to stop looking for ways to tax us, then you're very naive, Pollyanna.
No, you're exactly right. And 20% to the city of New York – on something that was provided to you in Florence, Alabama, forget about it. If Alabama wants to start taxing the travel agent's service fees to you, that's Alabama's business.
Mm-hmm.
The service is provided to you sitting in Alabama, not in New York City.
Well, and the folks, wherever you live, whatever you're doing, you know, these things are going to apply to you, and so we've got to stay diligent, and that's the reason why I encourage you to go check out netchoice.org and see what Steve's working on his blog and his organization. And Steve, I want to thank you for being so diligent, for being such an advocate for keeping the internet open and usable.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for all you do for small business.
I appreciate it. Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen. That's actonline.org and also netchoice.org. That's the big site right there for the IOFA laws. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.